Okay, let's do a door prize, and we can let these three exit the stage. Brianna's already up here, so whenever you're ready, Denise. Now, before we call that door prize, here's how it's going to work. We're a tight schedule now. We will start Braille is Beautiful at 4:15. Now, the only way that's going to happen is if those of you that are in Braille is Beautiful are ready to get on stage right away when we finish the next presenter. So please, please, please cooperate. Okay, you ready, Denise?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Okay. We have they're presidential collection cards, and they look like they appear to be various photographs of the president. I think this one I'm holding is President Obama. And we have a NFB mug from the 2002 National Convention. And for you veterans you probably remember where that convention was held. Anyway, that is going to go to
You haven't drawn me yet. Ashley Davis Kimmel. I saw her before lunch. Are you here now? Ashley Davis Kimmel. Do it again.
Okay.
Is that really the first one all day that hasn't been here?
Second one.
That's pretty good. She may be checking on her kids, too. She's got two little kids.
Okay. This one goes to Debbie Vitu. Is Debbie in the room?
Debbie Vitu, Ed's wife?
Yes.
No, she didn't. She's not here today.
Okay.
Sorry.
Right.
Okay. We have two Ed and Debbies.
Oh, well, I know this person is in the room, and she was probably at the 2002 convention. Kathy Randall.
Kathy. That's a yes.
I'm here.
All right. We got you, Kathy. We got you. All right, I will say that I remember back to Brianna's first time on a general session platform. I don't recall how old she was, but I'm sure she was just in high school, right?
Yeah.
Just in high school. So she's way past that now. Without further ado, give her a hand, okay, Brianna Lilliman.
Can we hear? All right. Can everyone hear me? Yes. Okay. So I'm Brianna Lilliman. I'm a junior at Loyola University Chicago. And this past summer, I spent the month of May studying abroad in the North African country of Tunisia. And when I chose to major in international studies my freshman year, I knew that studying abroad was going to be a priority for me. And my only question was, where would I study abroad? And Loyola is a great school for studying abroad, and it has campuses in Rome, in Vietnam, in Beijing. And I've had friends who've studied in Spain and France and Copenhagen, and so I'm sure you're all wondering, why would I go to Tunisia, of all places? But last fall, one of my professors passed around a flyer advertising the trip. There would be 30 students from Loyola going to Tunisia, led by one of Loyola's political science professors. We would travel to about 30 cities throughout the entire country, and we would stay in hotels, and we'd even go camping in the Sahara Desert. And on the flyer, there was a picture from the trip last year of all of the students riding on camels. And I thought, oh my God, I want to ride a camel. So the next thing I knew, I was telling my parents that I wanted to go. I was applying for a passport because I'd never been outside of the U.S. before, and I was applying for the program. And by this time last year, I'd been accepted to the program, and this impulsive desire was turning into a reality, and I was, you know, a little nervous because I kept thinking that someone was going to tell me I couldn't go or it wasn't going to work out, and that never happened. So I was really excited. Before the trip, I did have to communicate with Professor Schrader, the professor leading the trip, about my blindness, and I approached him. I told him I am a blind student. I use a cane. I want you to feel comfortable with me being on this trip. I want you to be comfortable with the academics. I want you to be comfortable with my safety. And he had some hesitations about a blind student going on the trip. He asked me lots of very specific questions about what would I do in this situation? Could I keep up with the group? Could I be safe? Or would I even enjoy this trip the same as the rest of the students on the group? And we talked for about 45 minutes, and I finally had him convinced. And his final question to me was, why do you want to go on this trip? Why don't you just go on a trip to Europe where you study at one university and you're in one city? You don't have to get on and off a bus. You don't have to go to all these different hotels. You're not walking around all the time. Why do you want to go on this trip? And I realized that I wanted to do something that was outside of my comfort zone. And this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity trip. And, you know, I didn't want to sit in a classroom. I wanted to ride the camels. So that is why I went to Tunisia. The day I arrived in Tunis, the capital of Tunisia, was probably the longest but best days of my life. Before arriving, I had this mental image of Tunisia as this desert wasteland. And I stepped off the plane, and it was like this beach paradise. And I was right on the Mediterranean. There were palm trees and these like lush rolling meadows, and it was so beautiful. And it was not at all what I expected, because they filmed Star Wars, all the desert scenes in Tunisia. Tatooine in Star Wars is named after a town, Tatooine, in Tunisia, so that's what I was picturing. And the northern part of Tunisia is nothing like that. It's truly beautiful. And I just can't imagine a more welcoming or inviting culture anywhere in the world than Tunisia. The entire time, I kept thinking about how different it was from the U.S., but yet how comfortable and welcome I felt in this country. So this trip fulfilled credit for a political science course. And when I originally wrote this speech, I wasn't going to talk about the political aspect because, you know, maybe no one cares as much as I do. But I think with everything going on in the news lately, I just wanted to discuss a little bit about Tunisia's history. Because I know ISIS is something that's, you know, well talked about. Tunisia, it was a French colony, but it gained its independence in, I want to say, 1956. Its founding father was technically a dictator. However, his pro-West, very secular regime made him very popular with the Tunisian people and with Western governments, especially France and the U.S. However, in 1968... Ben Ali staged a coup against Bourguiba, and he seized power, beginning a new era of authoritarian rule characterized by government corruption, nepotism, censorship, and police brutality. In January 21st of 2011, in response to an act of police brutality, a street vendor lit himself on fire publicly in protest. This act was broadcast through social media and international news sources, and the response of Tunisian protest to this act just spread like wildfire. And no political pundit or scholar in the world could have predicted just how swiftly this revolution would take place. By January of... later that month, Ben Ali fled the country for Saudi Arabia, and a temporary government was established and a new constitution was formed within a year. This was the beginning of what is known as the Arab Spring, where the countries of Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, and Syria all attempted to overthrow their authoritarian governments. It's widely agreed that Tunisia has been the most successful of any of these countries. Last weekend, Tunisia had its first elections, electing a secularist party, and thus officially becoming the first Arab democracy in the world. However, like any country in the world, Tunisia still faces struggles. And when I look up articles about Tunisia, I'm bombarded with headlines about how it's struggling to deal with citizens going to Syria to join ISIS or coming back from Syria and spreading ISIS political views. It's not to say that these newsworthy headlines aren't important, but one thing I learned on my trip is that people are just people all over the world, and day-to-day life goes on despite the politics. Professor Schrader made the statement, "I think if every American visited a Middle Eastern country, it would be a very different world." And with everything I saw and experienced, I agree 100%. Over our month-long trip, we explored Roman and Carthaginian ruins. We toured museums and visited holy and political sites all over the country. We had our lecturers sitting in cafes, sitting next to hotel pools, and even once, we sat on the ruins of the Temple of Baal, where the, you know, infamous Carthaginian baby sacrifices took place. We sat on those ruins and took notes for a lecture. We visited the city where the street vendor lit himself on fire, and we could feel just the political charge and the spirit of that city. We did a fair amount of hiking. We visited the northernmost point of the African continent. We had to get off. Our bus drove us as far as we could, and we had to climb up this mountain. And we climbed another mountain that had troglodyte cave dwellings, which are basically people's homes carved into the side of a cave. And that was pretty surreal to see how people live like that. It's so different, but yet these people are so happy and, you know, proud of their culture. We visited the medinas and the souks throughout all the cities that we stopped in. And, of course, we had our overnight in the Sahara Desert. We drove 3 hours in these jeeps to get to the campsite. And a desert, as we all know, is covered in sand. It's nothing but sand. And when you go out there, you're just overwhelmed by how tiny you are. It's just these miles and miles of sand, and your entire body and everything you bring out into the desert with you gets just covered in sand. And when I left, I was happy I'd had that experience, but I was glad it was over because it's a little bit miserable at times. One of my favorite parts was that we got to meet Tunisian graduate students who spoke English, and we got to talk to them and hear their version of political events, what their day-to-day lives were like, and we just got to hang out with them, which was a lot of fun. And I'm still Facebook friends with some of them, and it's really cool to just keep up with their lives and to have this international connection. I guess it's not an exaggeration to say that this trip changed my life. And if you are a blind student or a blind person who just wants to travel, I would say you can totally do it, of course. And when it comes to studying abroad, there will be challenges that sighted people don't have to face. However, I was okay with that. And I had the confidence in myself to deal with that and the confidence in my travel skills to deal with that. So if you want to do it, I would say you should definitely do it. And I couldn't have asked for a better group of people to travel with or a better country in the world to go to. So thank you.
We do have time for some questions. And Byron, are you still adjusting for Brilla's Beautiful?
Yes.
Okay. Are you still adjusting for Brilla's Beautiful?
Yeah.
Okay. Jamal.
Yes, I'm just waiting for my... Okay, thank you very much. Got two very quick questions here.
Yes.
Number one, when you first told your friends and your family you wanted to go to Tunisia, did they try to give the standard concerns about terrorism and all the stuff that's going on over the Middle East? And number two, since you traveled to the Middle East and to the African regions, what is your impression of the current reaction in this country to the Ebola virus?
Okay. So the first question is actually a great question. My roommates on the trip were both talking about how terrified their families were about going to this country, especially since it had just faced a revolution and it's in the Middle East. And Professor Schrader says that he's had, you know, 3-hour phone calls with concerned parents trying to tell them that it's okay, it's going to be safe. But my parents were always supportive 100% of the way. And my friends, I mean, they know me. They know that I typically go after the things I want to go after. And everyone was just really supportive in my life. But I think there were a lot of other students on the trip whose parents were nervous. And there's a lot of students who don't go because their families were so nervous about it. But I don't think you should let that hold you back. I think you should go. The second question, I was in Northern Africa. The Ebola virus is in Western Africa, I believe. So I'm not really sure what to say about that. I wasn't exposed to it at all.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. I can't hear well enough. A rose, sorry. Did you ever get to ride the camel?
Yes, I did ride the camel. There were so many camels that we saw in the South. We got to pet the camels. We got to ride the camels. Actually, someone almost fell off their camel, and it was really scary. But she was okay, but it was fun. I named my camel Noodle.
Are they as ornery as people say they are?
Mine was pretty nice, but the girl who fell off her camel, hers was mean, so... Yeah.
Great question. Other questions? Do you have pictures of you on the camel?
I do have pictures.
They're going on the website before you answer that.
I do have a picture of me on the camel, so I can provide that.
I'm not even going to repeat that one. All right. Any other questions? All right. You guys. I know who I am. I don't know who you are. Eileen.
Oh, yes. Women in Tunisia are critical to their society. Actually, the elections this past week, they elect, I believe, like 60 parliamentary-type members, and every other seat has to be a woman, so it alternates man, woman, man, woman.
Yeah, we have this myth that all Middle Eastern countries suppress women in some way.
It's simply not the case in Tunisia.
Anybody else? All right, I need the Braille is Beautiful people to come up here. If we get done with Braille is Beautiful a few minutes early, if we can get done a few minutes early, since we might be able to start a few minutes early, we'll take a minute, and I want everybody to learn the 75 Days song. So, it is out. But we're going to do Braille is Beautiful is first. So, if you can make your way on the stage, if you're assigned to the stage, I don't know how Debbie's doing this. She's now in charge. Debbie, do you want the podium to stay as it is or not? Byron wants to know. We have mics up front. How do you want the podium is what he's asking. There's a mic on the podium. Do you want it left there? Yes. If it stays, someone stands. Okay. Yes, your guests can please do a couple door prizes while we finish this detail stuff. Is that Marco again?
Yes.
All right, Marco. I think Marco, you know, Marco, if you need me to repeat, I can repeat because they're probably messing around with all of our sound right now. So listen up, guys. A mug and a scarf. Goes to who? Pat Olson. Are you in the room? She usually is. Pat Olson. Draw again, please. She's had significant others. Draw again, please. Nancy has the wireless, Byron. Marco, you get another one for me while they're still? Austin Mages. Austin, all right, Austin. Good time to be in the room. Do we have time? Let's do one more.
Yep.
Yeah, let's do one more. Because you don't want me to stand up here and sing, believe me. Another mug? And a Walkman something. Oh, Walgreens gift certificate. Sorry, I can't hear now either. Richard Carey?
Parrish.
Rick Parrish. No, not here.
Not here. Draw again.
Oh, are you here? All right, I apologize. We do have Rick Parrish. I didn't think you came in. All right.